U.S. asylum rules change. USCIS can now refer certain cases to immigration court without an interview. Updated, July 28, 2026. By Zomi Press Policy and Immigration Desk. The United States has introduced a major procedural change affecting people who apply for asylum through U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Effective July 28, 2026. USCIS asylum officers may refer certain affirmative asylum applications directly to immigration court without first conducting the traditional asylum interview. The Department of Homeland Security issued the change through an interim final rule titled Affirmative Asylum Referrals Without Interview. The rule applies immediately and may affect both newly filed applications and cases already pending with USCIS that have not yet been scheduled for an initial asylum interview. Public comments may be submitted through September 28, 2026. The new rule does not eliminate asylum, and referral does not mean that the applicant will be immediately deported. However, it may move some applicants more quickly from the non-adversarial USCIS process into formal removal proceedings before an immigration judge. For asylum seekers, attorneys, and immigrant communities, the central message is clear. An asylum application must now be prepared as though USCIS may decide the case routing question entirely from the written record. What is affirmative asylum? Affirmative asylum generally refers to an application filed with USCIS by a person who is physically present in the United States and is not already defending against removal in immigration court. The person normally files Form I-589, application for asylum and for withholding of removal. With supporting documents, under the traditional process, USCIS would generally receive the Form I-589, conduct security and background checks, schedule a non-adversarial asylum interview, allow the applicant to provide testimony and clarify the written application, grant asylum, deny the application where appropriate, or refer the case to immigration court. The asylum interview was especially important because it allowed applicants to explain omissions, correct misunderstandings, and provide details that may not have been fully presented in the written application. Under the new regulation, USCIS no longer has to offer that interview before referring certain applicants to the Executive Office for Immigration Review, which operates the immigration courts. What exactly does the new rule allow? The rule creates a process under which an asylum officer may examine the application, supporting documents, immigration records, security checks, and other relevant evidence and decide that the case should be referred to an immigration judge without interviewing the applicant. The rule also removes regulatory references to an applicant's right to an asylum interview. USCIS must still conduct an interview before granting or formally denying affirmative asylum. However, an interview is no longer required before USCIS refers an applicant who lacks another lawful basis to remain in the United States to immigration court. A referral without interview may occur when USCIS concludes from the written record that the applicant filed after the one-year asylum deadline and has not established an exception, is legally barred from receiving asylum, is not eligible based on the merits of the claim, does not merit asylum as a matter of discretion, may be connected to serious criminal conduct or terrorism-related concerns, lacks another lawful immigration status or basis to remain in the United States. USCIS retains discretion to interview applicants whenever an officer believes oral testimony is needed or an interview would serve the agency's interests. Who may be referred without an interview? The rule primarily concerns applicants who are considered amenable to referral to immigration court. In practical terms, this generally means a person who does not currently maintain lawful immigration status or another lawful basis to remain in the United States. USCIS has stated that it will continue offering interviews in cases where the applicant maintains a lawful basis to remain. It also says interviews will generally continue for applicants who do not appear to be barred, whose claims may be legally viable, and who may deserve asylum as a matter of discretion. Applicants at greater risk of referral without interview may include those who filed Form I-589 more than 1 year after their latest arrival, provided an incomplete or very brief personal declaration, failed to explain inconsistencies in dates, names, or immigration history, did not provide evidence supporting an exception to the one-year deadline, have criminal arrests or convictions, have alleged fraud, identity or security concerns in their records, rely mainly on information they expected to explain at the interview, submitted documents containing poor or inaccurate translations. The rule does not mean that every case with one of these issues will automatically be referred. An asylum officer must still review the record and determine whether referral without interview is appropriate. Does referral mean immediate deportation? No. Referral to immigration court is not the same as an immediate removal order. The general process may be. USCIS record review right-pointing arrow referral decision right-pointing arrow notice to appear right-pointing arrow immigration court proceedings right-pointing arrow decision by an immigration judge. Once the applicant is placed in removal proceedings, the person may generally continue pursuing asylum defensively before the immigration judge. The applicant may also seek other protections when eligible, including withholding of removal, protection under the Convention Against Torture, cancellation of removal or adjustment of status in qualifying circumstances, other available forms of immigration relief. The immigration judge generally reviews the asylum claim independently rather than merely approving USCIS's referral decision. However, the consequences are serious. Removal proceedings are adversarial. The Department of Homeland Security becomes the opposing party, and the applicant must comply with court deadlines, filing requirements, and hearing dates. Failure to attend a scheduled hearing may result in an in absentia removal order, meaning a deportation order issued while the applicant is absent. Why did the government introduce this rule? DHS says the rule is intended to reduce the affirmative asylum backlog, conserve asylum officer resources, make interview appointments available for cases that genuinely require testimony, avoid duplicating work when a case would eventually be referred to court, improve operational efficiency, protect national security and public safety, move legally ineligible cases into removal proceedings more quickly. DHS reported that the pending affirmative asylum caseload exceeded 1.4 million cases by the end of fiscal year 2025. The department argues that continuing to interview every applicant would further strain the system. Under the government's reasoning, there may be little administrative benefit in conducting a lengthy USCIS interview when the written record already shows that the person cannot be granted asylum through the affirmative process. Potential advantages of the new Rule 1. More efficient use of asylum officers. Asylum officers may spend more time interviewing applicants whose cases genuinely depend on oral testimony. Where a clear statutory bar appears in the written record, the government may avoid using staff, interpreters, and interview appointments on a process that would end in referral. 2. Faster movement of some cases. Some applicants may reach an immigration judge sooner instead of waiting years for a USCIS interview before being referred. This could be beneficial where the applicant has a strong explanation or legal argument that can be fully presented in court. 3. Reduced duplication. Under the previous process, some applicants completed a USCIS interview and then had to present the entire case again before an immigration judge. Direct referral may remove one stage of duplicated adjudication. 4. Greater attention to apparently approvable claims. If fewer interview slots are used for cases that USCIS believes cannot be approved, applicants with well-documented and potentially approvable cases may receive interviews sooner. 5. Stronger initial filings. The rule may encourage applicants and attorneys to submit more complete declarations, legal arguments, and supporting evidence at the beginning of the process. That could improve the quality of the record in both USCIS and immigration court proceedings. Major concerns and disadvantages. 1. Loss of the non-adversarial interview. The USCIS asylum interview has traditionally provided a setting in which applicants can explain their experiences directly to a trained asylum officer. This may be particularly important for survivors of torture, victims of sexual or gender-based violence, people suffering from trauma or memory difficulties, applicants with limited literacy, people unfamiliar with the American legal system, applicants who used an unqualified translator or form preparer. A written declaration may not fully communicate the effects of trauma, fear, and persecution. Without an interview, an incomplete written record may appear legally weak even when the underlying claim is genuine. 2. Backlog may be transferred rather than solved. USCIS may reduce its own workload by referring cases earlier, but those cases will then enter the immigration court system. The American Immigration Lawyers Association has warned that the policy could worsen immigration court backlogs by moving large numbers of asylum cases from USCIS to judges handling already crowded dockets. The result may be an administrative transfer of delay rather than a system-wide solution. 3. Earlier entry into removal proceedings. An applicant referred without interview enters formal removal proceedings sooner. That may create greater legal expenses, difficulty obtaining representation, stricter deadlines, possible detention or enforcement concerns, increased emotional stress, risk of a removal order if the case is not properly defended. Although referral is not deportation, it places the applicant in a process where deportation is one possible outcome. 4. Disadvantage to people without attorneys. Applicants represented by experienced asylum counsel are more likely to submit detailed sworn declarations, legal briefs, country condition evidence, witness affidavits, filing deadline explanations, corrected translations, evidence addressing asylum bars. Unrepresented applicants may file only the basic form and a short statement. The new process may therefore deepen the inequality between people who can obtain qualified legal assistance and those who cannot. 5. USCIS does not have to issue a request for evidence. Applicants may still supplement or amend their asylum applications before USCIS issues a decision. USCIS may also issue a request for evidence when further information is needed. However, the new rule emphasizes that USCIS is not required to issue an RFE in every case. Revised Form I-589 instructions are expected to warn applicants that the original filing and supporting documents may be their only opportunity to establish eligibility before USCIS decides whether to refer the case. This makes omissions and poorly prepared applications much more dangerous. 6. Broad discretionary authority. The rule allows referrals not only where there is a clear statutory bar but also where USCIS believes the applicant does not merit asylum as a matter of discretion. Discretionary analysis may involve issues such as manner of entry, immigration violations, criminal allegations, inconsistencies, fraud concerns, conduct after arrival, security information, humanitarian and family considerations. Because some of these determinations involve judgment rather than a simple legal rule, implementation may differ between officers or asylum offices. Why the one-year filing deadline matters more than ever. U.S. law generally requires an asylum application to be filed within 1 year after the applicant's most recent arrival in the United States. Exceptions may be available for changed circumstances that materially affect asylum eligibility, or extraordinary circumstances directly related to the filing delay. Examples may include a major deterioration in country conditions, new threats against the applicant or family, political activities undertaken in the United States, conversion to a persecuted religion, expiration of lawful immigration status, severe illness, disability or trauma, certain ineffective assistance circumstances, new public media, advocacy or human rights work. An exception is not automatic. The applicant must usually explain what circumstance caused or justified the late filing, how it directly affected the applicant's ability or need to seek asylum, when the relevant circumstance arose or ended, why the person filed within a reasonable period afterward. Under the new rule, USCIS may decide this issue from the written record without hearing the applicant explain it in person. Applicants filing after 1 year should therefore include a detailed legal and factual explanation supported by documents whenever possible. Special implications for Myanmar and Zomi applicants. Myanmar nationals and Zomi applicants may have claims involving ethnicity, Christianity, political opinion, military activity, forced recruitment, armed groups, journalism or community advocacy. However, general evidence that Myanmar is unstable or dangerous may not be enough by itself. A strong asylum claim should explain the individual connection between the applicant and the feared persecution. Important questions include, who harmed or threatened the applicant? Why was the applicant personally targeted? Was the harm connected to ethnicity, religion, nationality, political opinion or membership in a particular social group? Were government authorities involved? Were authorities unable or unwilling to provide protection? Did an armed group attempt to recruit, punish or extort the applicant? Could the applicant safely relocate elsewhere in Myanmar? Why would the applicant remain at risk after returning? Have the applicant's activities in the United States created additional danger? For Zomi Christians, journalists, pastors, political advocates, and community leaders, evidence may include church membership or ministry records, political or media publications, photographs and social media records, threatening messages, arrest or summons documents, medical records, statements from witnesses, evidence of forced recruitment, reports concerning local armed groups, credible country condition reports, proof that authorities failed to provide protection. The claim must remain truthful, individualized, and consistent with prior immigration records. What pending asylum applicants should do? Review the original Form I-589. Applicants should obtain and carefully review a complete copy of the application originally submitted to USCIS. They should check for missing incidents, incorrect dates, inconsistent names, unexplained travel, previous visa statements, criminal or immigration history, inaccurate translations, unanswered questions, weak explanations of the protected ground, missing one-year deadline arguments. Consider supplementing the application. The regulation states that an applicant may amend or supplement an asylum application before USCIS issues a decision. A supplement may include an updated declaration, newly available evidence, changed country conditions, recent threats, updated political or religious activity, correction of translation errors, explanation of inconsistencies, additional evidence concerning the filing deadline. Any submission should clearly identify the applicant's name, a number and USCIS receipt number, and follow the applicable USCIS filing instructions. Monitor every notice. Applicants must carefully monitor mail, USCIS online accounts, and immigration court information. A person who moves should update the address with every relevant agency. Updating an address with USCIS does not necessarily update it with the immigration court, and vice versa. Prepare for possible court proceedings. Applicants who no longer have lawful status should prepare for the possibility of receiving a referral and notice to appear without first attending an asylum interview. They should keep copies of all filings, delivery receipts, identity documents, certified translations, evidence organized by date, current contact information, records of every agency notice, seek qualified legal assistance. Applicants should seek help from a licensed immigration attorney or a DOJ-recognized organization with accredited representatives. People who cannot afford private counsel may consult the Executive Office for Immigration Review's official list of pro bono legal service providers. EOIR maintains the list for individuals appearing in immigration court proceedings. Applicants should avoid notarios, unauthorized immigration consultants, and unqualified form preparers. Zomi Press Policy Analysis. The government's efficiency argument has some legitimacy. A system facing more than 1.4 million pending affirmative asylum cases cannot operate effectively without procedural reform. Requiring USCIS to interview every applicant may consume resources that could be concentrated on cases requiring detailed testimony. However, administrative efficiency must not be confused with procedural fairness. Asylum claims frequently depend on facts that cannot be fully understood through forms alone. Survivors may initially omit traumatic experiences. Translation problems may distort important details. Applicants may misunderstand legal questions or fail to recognize why a particular fact matters. The immigration court may eventually provide a full hearing, but it is not equivalent to the USCIS interview. Court proceedings are adversarial, legally complex, and often difficult to navigate without representation. Sending applicants directly into that system may increase the chance that legitimate claims fail because of procedural weakness rather than lack of merit. The policy's success should therefore be measured by more than the number of cases removed from the USCIS backlog. Policymakers should also examine whether immigration court backlogs increase, whether applicants receive adequate notice, how frequently USCIS issues RFEs, whether vulnerable applicants are disproportionately referred, whether language access safeguards are sufficient, whether applicants can obtain representation, whether courts overturn USCIS's preliminary conclusions, whether legitimate asylum claims are lost through procedural error. A reform that reduces one agency's backlog while overwhelming another agency would not represent a genuine solution. Pros and cons at a glance. Policy issue. Potential benefit. Potential risk. Achieves workload. Fewer unnecessary interviews. Work may shift to immigration courts. Processing speed. Some viable claims may be interviewed sooner. Referred applicants may wait years in court. Government resources. Reduces duplicative adjudication. Increases burdens on EOIR and DHS counsel. Written applications. Encourages stronger initial filings. Harms applicants with poor legal assistance. 1 year deadline allows faster handling of apparently late cases. Valid exceptions may be overlooked. Fraud and security allows quicker action on serious concerns. Innocent inconsistencies may be overinterpreted. Applicant testimony. Courts can later hear the complete case. Applicant loses the earlier non-adversarial interview. Removal proceedings provides access to an immigration judge. Exposes applicants earlier to deportation proceedings. Legal representation may encourage applicants to seek counsel. Many asylum seekers cannot afford counsel. Backlog reduction may reduce the USCIS affirmative backlog. May simply relocate the backlog. Final assessment. The July 28, 2026 rule does not abolish asylum and does not authorize immediate deportation merely because an applicant was not interviewed. It is primarily a case routing rule that permits USCIS to send certain affirmative asylum applications to immigration court based on the written record and other available evidence. Nevertheless, its practical effect may be profound. For applicants without lawful status, an incomplete form I-589 may now lead directly to adversarial removal proceedings without the opportunity to first explain the claim in a USCIS interview. The most important practical lesson is therefore, an asylum application must no longer be treated as a preliminary form that can be completed or corrected during the interview. It should be prepared as a complete legal and factual record from the beginning. Applicants should ensure that their declarations are detailed, translations are accurate, filing delays are fully explained, and supporting evidence is submitted as early as possible. Important legal notice. This Zomi Press policy explainer is provided for public information and journalistic analysis. It does not constitute individualized legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Immigration law and asylum procedures may change through new agency guidance, court orders, or future rulemaking. Applicants should consult a licensed immigration attorney or a DOJ-recognized accredited representative regarding their individual circumstances. Copyright 2026 Zomi Press. Truth, Unity, Community. www.zomipress.com.